going into March, because 10 days after the end of February is into March. Wasn't that the deal that was made between you and those?
The exact dates I'm not sure, but yes, that was the deal. And I feel that because they broke their promises in a couple, two, three different areas, and with no negotiations whatsoever with the campers, which they had promised that they would negotiate, that their integrity, their honesty, and their management is very much in question, you know.
I'd go further than that, Dan. Let me interrupt you for a minute.
Okay.
I'm not even concerned that with making the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, repent and do their mea culpas. I want to see any service provider that does what they have done learn that they can't do that. That they can't treat homeless people like shit. That they can't treat them like nobodies. That they can't say one thing to them with the press rolling the cameras and then 2 weeks later turn right around and do the opposite. And then just have the city council pat them on the back and say, oh, it's okay, we're busing them out to New Brighton Beach. We're getting them out of town. The problem isn't here anymore for you. I mean, to me, it's not just a matter of criticizing CCH. To me, it's a matter of saying to any service provider, don't treat homeless people that way. You treat people like human beings. And if you're not going to treat them like human beings, other human beings will call you to account. And that is how I have felt about it. People say I have a personal vendetta against CCH. No, no. Not so. But when you see an organization continuing the same complacent policy, which essentially they're going to pursue their own bureaucratic priorities regardless of any homeless input they get, when they are raising money and buying property on the strength of their alleged commitment to homeless causes and homeless services, you got to say, if you have any sense of the rights for homeless people, this can't be. You know, you got to speak up and say, this is wrong. We got to change this. But let me get back to this point I was asking you. I suggested 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago that homeless people just feel free to use that property anytime they want. That if they want to climb over the fence and sleep there, they should do so because they were given a contract to do so. And if somebody removes them, they should sue their asses off because there's a verbal contract. However much Daryl Darling or Palmer so want to announce they've closed the property, however much Mayor Rotkin says he's going to send in the police, the fact is a contract was made, a deal was made. And to me, I said, come back to the property. If you need a place to sleep, that's a legal place to sleep. Now, would you then say to me, Robert, you're sending these people to a toxic dump? Would you? We have a phone call coming in. Why don't you answer that question first?
Well, actually, I can understand it, because we do need people to realize that that homeless people have no place to sleep. And even if it is that property, that probably they should go over the fence and go sleep over there, you know, and get arrested and everything, you know, just to bring out the truth about what the Citizens Committee for the Homeless really is.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, I'm just wondering what the fuck's going on with everybody not calling and supporting Dan. He's being very courageous and sticking his neck out. I know, you know, that there's a lot of futility connected with his actions, or seemingly so, but where is everybody? What are they doing? Maybe this should be announced on some other of the shows on Free Radio.
That's a good idea, and I would encourage people who are listening on the air to give a call to shows that are coming up and mention the issue. However you feel about what Dan is doing, at least call in and talk about it. Say what you think about it. And of course, Dan's phone number to reach him, to support him, is, what's your phone number, Dan?
932.
Go ahead.
My telephone number is 932-7206. Actually, it's a pager, and be sure and hit the pound sign at the end, and I'll answer your call as soon as
possible.
Give
that number again.
932-7206.
And if you can't reach Dan there, I would be happy to take a message for Dan at my number, 423-HUFF. Again, as I said, that this is Dan's baby.
I'm all behind him. I think this is great.
You're going to give $100 to the cause?
I would if I could.
All right, that's one call for you.
Okay,
thank
bye.
You. Bye-bye.
Well, hey, that's so far it's 1-0 for Dan. Well, I mean, hey, hang on to your hats, folks. Yeah, so some people may accuse you of being contradictory here, Dan, because you know your arguments about the toxic nature of this site kind of arguments that are enabling you to challenge the permit, that kind of puts you onto the running field, so to speak, and your real concern is that there'll be adequate space for homeless people? Or are you really concerned that this is a toxic site and that's your primary concern? Because if you are concerned it's a toxic site as your primary concern, then I would assume you would also have that concern for anybody who's a camper, and you would say to me, Robert, don't recommend these people jump over the fence and sleep in a toxic dump. What are you, crazy?
Actually, I think I have two separate things there. One is that it is a toxic dump, and I do think the community house shouldn't be on that property. The other thing is, though, is that there's no place for homeless people to go to, and so I would have to also support, even though it's not healthy, I would have to support jumping over the fence and putting a tent up, preferably in the daylight. Don't do it at night, guys. That might be considered nighttime burglary, mandatory 2-year prison term. But anyway.
By the way, Danny, there also has been proposed, or actually I've had the thought, that since you were given a verbal contract, you also have the alternative of suing CCH in court.
Oh,
small claims court,
yes. If there's not an answer to the homeless situation here within the next month and a half or so, around March 15th, when all these people are going to be turned out into the streets, we have records on paper as a matter of public record. We have it on tape recorders. We have it on camera. We have several different areas that we can sue on. We've already found out our legal rights on all of these, and I do not want to do that. I hate going through the system, but if I have to, when this is all over and done with, if the homeless haven't been treated fairly in Santa Cruz, I am going to do everything within my power to sue. And there's also many people, even though they're not going along with my appeal, there are many people who are also going to do the same thing, but in a more serious way than I'm going to. The issues that I'm going to sue on are minor compared to what they want to sue on. So I guess I'm a little bit of everything I kind of support when it comes to the homeless situation.
Well, what do you say to someone like Scott Kennedy, who says that the kind of pressure that you're putting on CCH, and he also, I guess, accuses SOS of putting that kind of pressure, SOS is not supporting your appeal that I'm aware of, Rivers of Refugees aren't, even Huff hasn't taken any position on your appeal yet, as far as I know. And I have some doubts. I don't know what the best thing to do is, frankly. I mean, I'm sure I probably will end up personally supporting your appeal, no question about it, but I don't know what the best approach is. But I continue to hear these arguments about, well, you don't want to antagonize the bite the hand that feeds you, and antagonize your natural allies and so forth. But not just the history of this whole conflict makes me suspicious of those kinds of arguments, but how progress has happened in the past in Santa Cruz in terms of homeless activism, I think to a large extent has been through confrontational tactics. And log jams have been broken not by the mellow, smooth, quiet, let's get together and be friends approach. That approach has essentially been ignored by the City Council and the Board of Supervisors. It's been done by high-profile hunger strikes, high-profile demonstrations, high-profile activity. Now, I guess there's some exceptions to that. The Homeless Community Resource Center was not established through demonstrations. There are some exceptions to that. I think that certainly is a program that I think is a good one. The free meal was established through protest. The free meal was established because we went to jail for serving free food for about 6 months. And that's the reality of it in 1988 and 1989. So, historically, when you have somebody by the balls, you don't let them go and then start, licking their nose. I mean, particularly if they've shown contempt in dealing with you. I guess there's an argument, the Gandhi-esque argument might be, well, you keep treating them nicely, eventually they'll come around, or eventually they'll respect you, or eventually they'll understand that they will vibrate to the spasm of your own pain. They will understand the shame that they are producing. And I think on a one-to-one level that can happen. But modern-day bureaucracies, people insulate themselves as personalities, and their functions get insulated. And frankly, I think when you have a very good cause for, theoretically even for suing CCH, you certainly have a cause for resisting any trespass tickets there. I'm thinking of making out a flyer that suggests that people jump the fence and use that property if they want, particularly if you do appeal, because that gives them 10 days after the end of the appeal, according to the promise by Paul Marceau and Darrell Darling, that Coral Street property should be open. And I think they will have a basis for resisting any unfair prosecutions on that property. I don't even know if it's usable now, and of course, to make the property usable, you need to have them cops not tearing down your tents all the time. It may be completely unrealistic. But when you have developed an issue so clearly, developed who's in the right and who's in the wrong so clearly, to throw it all away, as I see SOS, or let's say Barbara and Sherry, because I don't know what SOS is doing, maybe the River Street Refugees, if they speak for the River Street Refugees, throwing this whole issue away to say, oh, well, no, we want to work with these guys, and that's a dead horse, and we don't want to go back there anyway. I see that as really abandoning a lot of ground that you've gained, and not just legally, but morally. I mean, and I regard it with some suspicion.
I have the same feeling, but if they can make it work, more power to them, you know, as far as using the city council and the county supervisors as allies. However, and that's not saying that things can't change. However, I happen to have skimmed all the history over the years very rapidly, because there's too much of it to cover. And over and over and over again, I've seen the exact same things happen with the city council and the county. Anybody has anything to do with the homeless, it's just a constant repeat all over and over again. And the same things happen is that they just fight us tooth and nail against the homeless and institute ordinances and laws which will actually make homeless people's lives even more miserable. So far, the history doesn't show it, and it's been pointed out to me over and over again that that we're not to trust the city council or some of the people that are involved in homeless activism. Even though they're activists, they kind of somehow undermine some of the situation. Some of them are employed by CCH, and others are not. But I really have some doubts as to being nice guys to these guys, because their history shows just the opposite. They have not cooperated with the homeless.
Yeah, the reason you raise your voice when there's an injustice is not because, you know, you want a grandstand. It's not because you you think there's particular merit in being vitriolic per se. But you really are trying to communicate the magnitude of the injustice that is done. At least that's why I raise my voice. I went to the Citizens Committee for the Homeless meeting, what is it, a week ago, and got arrested. Well, no, he didn't actually arrest me, but locked out and threatened with arrest twice. And Dan here was threatened essentially with assault. They were going to seize the tape recorder that he was holding and make off with it, assault him to do so, because that's what they'd have to do. That's what I believe Darrell Darling threatened to do. Am I accurate in that?
Well, what he said was is that he talked to the person next to me, and I overheard him say that possibly they could physically take the recorder from me, and so that's when I went out and asked the police officer outside.
So he actually didn't threaten you, he was simply discussing that with
the person
else.
Right next to
my
me.
My apologies, Darrell, you didn't threaten him, but you discussed assaulting
However,
him.
However, he nice. Did tell me that he was calling the police to arrest me, and one of the comments he made was, is that you would be arrested respectfully.
Right. Yeah, see, this is Darrell Darling, head of the Community House Project, which is now apparently being supported by SOS and River Street Refugees. Dan Hopkins dissenting. I'm dissenting. I still don't support the project, given the circumstances. This is by a group that calls itself the Citizens Committee for the Homeless that has locked homeless people out of its meeting. At the last meeting, you couldn't get back in, could you, Dan?
Yeah, that's right. They locked the door on us.
You know, I mean, this is not okay, gang. And it's not okay to have other activists inside. I'm referring to Sherry Campbell. And Sherry, please come on the air and defend yourself if I am misstating your situation, who seemed to approve of or condone misconduct. Ms. Campbell has not contacted me in the last week to apologize for her behavior, to justify or explain it in any way. And you ask, well, you know, she's certainly fighting for the rights of the River Street refugees and speaks eloquently about the homeless. Why are you criticizing her? Well, there are some kinds of behavior that I think have to be, shall we say, not done. And one of those things you don't do is you don't support the arrest of another activist. as I understand, you talked to Sherry. What did she say about this, Dan?
She did say that you know, she's had her problems with yourself over the years and things. And when I was listening to the conversation with Daryl Darling, and actually, I have to be truthful about this. Sherry didn't really know what was going on in the meeting because she had just came in. But Daryl Darling started stating the situation of tape recorders and arresting Robert Norris and myself. And the things that I heard was that she agreed with Daryl Darling. And I think what happened was she was put on the spot. However, I do think that she probably does agree with Daryl Darling in arresting us and not having any tape recorders. And that sort
of
thing.
If you don't, Sherry, or any friends of Sherry are listening, call in and say you don't, for God's sake. I mean, let's get this issue clear. I've never been able to be in an open forum and a clear debate with her on any of these issues. And I really find that regrettable. I'd be happy to do that, and not in any way to detract from the eloquence of what she has to say on homeless issues. Indeed, I often give her the mic when I am in a position to do so. And I may even continue to do that, even though I feel personally somewhat injured by what she's done in this situation. But I think the real issue is what you can do in this situation to support rights for homeless people in Santa Cruz City and County. And one way is to call the City Council at 429-3550 and tell them that there needs to be a campground by March 15th. There needs to be reform in the sleeping ban immediately. And tell them not to support, if Dan Hopkins is pressing this appeal, then tell them to think real closely, to re-examine the issue of open shelter, how the Citizens Committee for the Homeless is treating the homeless people, and the contract that CCH made with the homeless people before it grants the community house permits. And of course, also, I would encourage you to call 429-3550, that's again the City Council, to ask to make sure that there is an open-air shelter, that there is a campground tomorrow, if possible, but by March 15th at the latest, an emergency shelter for people to sleep in. And I believe, Dan, do you want to drum up any support for your, have you want to say any more about your own appeal or give a number out?
Well, I'd just like to give out my pager number again. My pager number is 932-7206, and you have to hit the pound sign at the end of the message, so I'll get it. And if you support the appeal that I'm going to do, and by Monday I have to come up with $50. I already have one $10 contribution, and possibly, you know, maybe another 5 or 10 from some other people. But I'm going to be setting up a table on Pacific Avenue tomorrow, hopefully about 10 o'clock in the morning, and I'm going to have a jar there for donations so that I can get the $50 together by Monday at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, so I can appeal this community house project, and somehow hopefully empower the homeless people of Santa Cruz.
So you're looking for people to help you at your table, and you're also still looking for funding for this project?
Yes, I am. I need another $40. I got that one $10 for sure, and but I need another $40 by Monday at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay, if you don't need any messages for Dan on any subjects, please feel free to drop the call to the Huff line, 423-HUFF. That's the line for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, 423-4833. We're coming to the end of the hour. I'm going to play a tape until our next host, Dean, arrives. If you want to be on this show happens twice a week, Mondays and Fridays. It starts at 10, goes to noon. Dan?
I'd like to make just one more comment. If there is someone out there, I know I used to listen to radio programs like this, and I never really did anything, but I would listen, you know, and I was interested and I wanted to help, but for some reason I wasn't able to help. If there is anyone out there, seems I only need $40 more, I would be willing to exchange work for $40 over the weekend. Any kind of work. I'm a painter. I know how to paint very well. Kitchen, whatever. Do some yard work. Anything that you have, I would attempt to do. And I'm a very hard worker. I've always been told I'm a hard worker. And if you wanted to contribute $40, I'd be willing to work for the $40 in order that I can get the full amount by Monday at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's also a disgrace, by the way, that the City Council and the City Clerk will not allow Dan to file a poverty appeal. He obviously doesn't have the money. He gathers cans in order to pay his rent. That's his rent, meaning his rent for his camp space. And I myself asked the City Council Clerk about this because I was curious about the issue some time ago. Clerk claims that she will not allow anyone to file a response, even though you know, the person is indigent, without paying $50. And I guess you could try to get a writ of mandate from a court, but you know how that goes. Here's a phone call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, Robert. Hi, Dan. It's Coral.
Hi there, Coral.
Your comment about collecting cans reminds me that anyone's invited to go to community TV Thursday nights and get all their recyclables and use them if they would like. They have them there on Thursday nights.
So that's a week, almost a week from today, right?
Any Thursday, but for people interested in that, if they're collecting money.
Okay.
Collecting cans, get some money.
Okay. Anything else, Coral?
And I'm hoping Dan gets his money. And he has a box number, doesn't he?
You have a box number, Dan?
Oh, P.O. box?
Yes. Thanks, Coral.
Okay, my post office box is P.O. box 7966 Santa Cruz, California, and the zip is 95061-7966. And I'll repeat that again. Daniel Hopkins, P.O. Box 7966, Santa Cruz, California, and the zip is 95061-7966.
And you can also call me at 423-HUFF. Show up at Taco Bell at 9:45 on Monday morning if you wish to be on the show, or give me a call at that number over the weekend. We have we're about to be cut off in the bud by our noon talk show host, Darren Dean. He's finally earned his nickname. Should we call him? You can call him what you want. But call in to 427-3772 if you want to be on the air with Dean. And if you want to be on the air with supporting Dan Hopkins or opposing him, call at any time throughout the afternoon and bring up the issues, the important ones. Thank you. Tune in on Monday.